Very good. Tonight, I'm going to have you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 18 as we continue our series on the culture of Christ. Matthew chapter number 18, if you will. And if you'll look at verse 1, it says, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." God, we will ask that not only do you bless, but God help us. We want to be as Jesus is trying to teach his disciples here this evening, and or at that time and in our passage this evening. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And y'all may be seated. So can somebody tell me what is the topic of this section of Scripture? Say that again. Humility. That is it. And that's when sometimes the preacher loses people. I've heard this already. Or I don't need this. If you ever get to the place, if I ever get to the place where we say, I don't need a lesson on humility, guess what? We need a lesson on humility. Amen? And so it's one of those things. If you would, let me quote the words of the God that saved you. "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Because remember, he is talking about being blessed. And if you want to be blessed and part of the kingdom of heaven, listen. That's all he's saying. Now, Jesus a lot of times used different types of pictures to teach. And he definitely uses one here. He uses a little child. Now, there's nothing hard about children. There's nothing harmful about children. But the picture that he uses is rather impactful here. Now, notice these words at the beginning of chapter 18, verse 1. It says, "at the same time." Now, at the same time, there are two different things happening besides what Jesus has been doing. Number one, if you were to read in the chapter 17, verse 24 and on to the end of the chapter, you'd read about Peter going and catching a fish to get tribute money to pay tax. If y'all remember that story, you can read that. It's a short one. So Peter had gone fishing so that he could learn a lesson from Jesus that the children of God are free in the kingdom of heaven. Amen? And there's no strangers in the kingdom of heaven. But at the same time, as Jesus was walking down the road with the rest of the disciples, not Peter, he's fishing, he is speaking with his disciples. And we'll talk about that here in just a couple of seconds. To finish off the introductory part, I want you to know that Matthew 18 is also repeated in Mark chapter 9 and in Luke chapter 9. So it's in three Gospels. When a story is in three Gospels, it's a big one. Amen? If it's in all four, you better be paying attention as well. So it's significant to what we are studying which is the culture of Christ. And Jesus does give them a lesson in humility. He teaches a little more about the spiritual nature of his kingdom. So we want to learn their question, how the question arose, and then the teaching of the master regarding humility. So notice the question out of verse number 1. They ask this question, who is the greatest in heaven? Now Mark gives some details that Matthew skipped over. Why Matthew skipped over, but I don't know. So walking now to Capernaum, the disciples are having a conversation amongst themselves. See if we can get this to work. Very good. In Mark chapter 9, verse 33 and 4, it says, and he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace. For by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. So they were in an argument, who's the greatest? Sounds like a bunch of guys all talking and bragging, doesn't it? And in a way, that's what it was. So the reason why they hold their peace is very simple. They understand their conversation is not a part of the culture of God. They understand that their conversation is not a part of the culture that Christ was teaching to them, what they were learning. And that is why we have chapter 18, beginning in verse number 1, because Jesus wants to teach them a lesson about humility. He's going to teach them who's the greatest. Now, before their very eyes, they have seen humility modeled. It's modeled in Jesus. He is the perfect example of humility. They see this every single day, but yet they're not applying it to their lives. So Jesus is going to teach them and give them something rather practical, and he's going to use the picture of a child. So let's answer the question. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? God. God the Father. Well, we don't have to go real, you know, it doesn't take me 20 minutes to explain that one, does it? We're all pretty swift here. We get that. God the Father is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So you know what they're asking. Which of us is the greatest? And I want you to understand this. In all groups, when we don't have a great godly humility, there's always a struggle for supremacy. Isn't there? And it happens because we want to have preeminence. We want to be recognized as being important. And it happened amongst the disciples, and it can happen in churches. It's really ugly in a church. And this desire is just part of our sin nature. It's how we were born. It's not one of the godly aspects of our lives, but it is part of our life. So things like strife and contention, deception, all those different things, they emanate from this desire for supremacy. And we will struggle with one another to try to be supreme. That's why Jesus is going to teach on humility. He's going to teach them about the humility and the culture of the kingdom of heaven. So Christ's culture in his kingdom, and he's going to teach them biblical principles, but he's going to teach them a biblical principle that John the Baptist got. John chapter 3, verse number 30. He must, but I must decrease. Yeah, he must increase, but I must decrease. That's the principle here, guys. It's not a very hard principle, is it? It is simple to understand. As my pastor used to teach, the way up is down. And that's very true. And the way to greatness is through humility. And I know you live in a world that looks for self-aggrandizement. It looks for self-promotion. I like to watch football, but football players are very difficult. I don't understand cornerbacks. They do not defend the pass 98% of the time, but the one time they stop it, they act like they're the greatest thing in the world. Have you ever noticed that? You know, the guy scored 4 touchdowns on me, but I stopped that one pass and he was going to go a whole yard. You know, hello. But we're all like this. But it has no place in the culture of Christ. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. That's what we are supposed to be. Humble people that love each other, being lowly, being meek, being long suffering, forbearing. You see, humility never thinks a lot about itself, does it? It always focuses on others. So we've looked at verse 1, verse number 2, a little bit more of 2 here as we go, but let's look at the teaching of the master here. Now, notice verse number 3. He says, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." So Jesus gets a child, sets the child next to him. Now, there's nothing threatening here, is there? Children are small, they're weak, and intellectually, they're not on the same level as most adults. Right? This was supposed to be a little fun. Okay, that's fine, that's fine. So Jesus does not look threatening. He's got a little child next to him. Now, I know that you've all been taught that you have to be like a little child to get saved, and you have to have their humility and all that, but I want you to read this again and kind of get this. He says, first of all, he says, except you be converted. First of all, you got to be saved. Get saved. Become like you're supposed to be because Jesus has forgiven you of your sins. That is the first step in any relationship with God. You gotta get saved. But here's the second thing. He says, and in addition to that, become as little children. So he connects the one thought to the other there. And he says, after you've been saved, become like a little child. Now, most of us are wise enough to figure this out. He's not telling us that we ought to be like Tabitha and run around the auditorium. Amen? Okay, it's not physically act like a little child. But it says there's a possibility here that you can become like little children. Emotionally, spiritually, they're very simple. It's fun to teach children because when you teach children God's word, you know what they do? They believe it. When you teach children God's word, they hear it and they try and figure out how to do that. And I always liked that. When I was teaching second grade boys, it was a blast at the end of the class to take the lesson and say, so how are y'all going to do this? Oh, you got some great answers. But you know what? You got answers that were related to the subject matter, and they would try to figure out how they were going to do it. Now, when you were asking them to be kind and to be nice, almost always it came out, I'm going to be nicer to my brother or my sister or something like that. That's a great application. How many of y'all have brothers and sisters? Yeah, we could all use to be a little nicer to some of them. Amen? Yeah. Okay, I can see. Pastor stepping on toes here. We'll move on. Now, notice verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So the result of humility is greatness. Who has this honor? Well, the person that's humble. So Jesus is answering their question, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, how many times have you noticed that Jesus answers a question, and he answers a question either with a question, or he answers it in a way that it almost seems like he's not answering the question? Here he answers it very directly, very succinctly, because it's so important that we get this straight. The result of humility is greatness in the kingdom of heaven. Now I understand we're not going to be the greatest. God is the greatest. But it does seem that there possibly could be some sort of pecking order in the kingdom of heaven. And some people are greater than others. And I think all of us want to be somewhat great. So let me give you a couple of verses on being great in the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. To have that poor spirit related to who we are, to our sin, things like that. Matthew 20, verse 27. And whosoever will be your chief among you, let him be your servant. How many of y'all have noticed that a lot of people, they want a great title? I have seen on some business cards these incredible titles, and it's like, where was your name? I can't find your name because there's so much title on there. Doesn't matter our title. Be a servant. Matthew 23:11. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. How many of y'all are starting to see a pattern already? Yeah. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that humble himself shall be exalted. That's the same thing as John 3:30. He must increase, but I must decrease. Then Psalm 138, verse 6. Though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. We all want God's respect, don't we? It says when we're lowly, when we're humble, we get that respect. When we're proud, we're kind of held at that distance. Amen? And Proverbs 18:12, before destruction, the heart of a man is hardy, and before honor is humility. When you're being proud, it shows. Amen? So if you desire greatness in the kingdom of heaven, learn to be humble. Be converted. Become as little children. Decrease, as John the Baptist says. And Jesus said, you'll be one who has humbled himself and you'll be great. Now, notice verse 5. He says, and whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. How many of y'all have ever thought this? I want to be filled with the Lord. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God, the Word of God. I want to be filled with everything godly. Y'all ever felt that way? Yeah, that's exactly what God wants. And here Jesus says, you can do this. Simple. No fanfare. Just receive Him like a little child. Now, that doesn't mean we should all go out and get a child. Amen? He says, receive Him in that manner. The simplicity of it. The acceptance. The faith of little children is amazing. Because you can tell them about Noah and the ark, and they're trying to figure out how big that boat is. Adults, we're trying to figure out how to dispel the thought of a boat that big. But not children. They just accept things as they are. So he says, receive a little child. He says, receive things humbly and in faith. And then notice this. He also said this, in my name. In Christ's name always means in His power, in His authority. And he's even speaking about receiving others. When we do so, we are to receive them as if we are ambassadors. If you were to go to an ambassador's home and you are sent on a mission to an ambassador's home, how do you think they're going to receive you? Do you think they're going to look at you and say, oh, yeah, give me a few minutes? No. They're going to be ready for you. They are going to welcome you into the home. They are going to have tea and cookies or whatever it is. You know what? Ladies and gentlemen, you and I are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are supposed to receive others in His name. And there ought to be kind of a grand welcome for every single person that we can get the message out to. Amen? Yeah. So he says, do this in His name. And that results in being filled by God. That results in having that humility. That results in greatness. So one of the most sought after experiences of the Christian life, which is to be filled by the Lord, comes through humility. I like that. Because that's not the way we would think, is it? So now we hit verse number 6. He says, whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. There's quite a picture in there, isn't there? Now notice what he says. Whoso shall offend. That word offend comes from a Greek word, skandalizo. It's where we get our word scandal. And it means to cause somebody to trip up, to cause somebody to fall. And if we are going to be humble people, we don't create stumbling blocks for others. We don't cause them to fall. So the culture of Christ is very specific here about how we are supposed to be. Little children don't really cause adults to fall, do they? Now, they might trip their brother. I could see Harmony was smiling as soon as I said that, and I knew where she was thinking. She's got a brother. You know, and brothers and sisters are brothers and sisters, amen? But the idea of having a millstone hung about your neck, that's quite a picture. And it does this. It represents, number one, I'm going to drown, right? And number two, I don't have the strength to get this thing off myself. I need some help. And I believe Jesus used that picture for that reason. So he's saying that greatness is not found in offending people. It's not found in offending the needy. It's not found in offending the unsaved. That's not how we're supposed to do it. So it's not very hard to understand our passage tonight. It's a very simple message. But I want to get two thoughts and we're done. How's that? So let's talk about the culture of humility as it's been modeled for us. Do y'all remember those wristbands for quite a while? WWJD. What would Jesus do? There's nothing wrong with that thought, is there? It's a great way to see the world. How would my Savior handle this situation? That's not a bad way to think whatsoever. But when we think about his life, his death, his resurrected life, all of it modeled humility, didn't it? Come on, ladies and gentlemen, if you raised from the dead, would you be humble? Think about it. So wisdom tells us this. It says, watch, study, and then take those actions and use them to be a compass for your life and live like that. Because I don't know of another model of humility that you can trust. I know some humble people, and I'm glad for them, but they're not perfect, are they? So this year, as we read our Bibles, and I do want to challenge you, read your Bible this year. If you can, start at the beginning and read through to the end. If you can't, read as much as you can read, but let the Word of God teach you humility. Let this be a year where Table Mountain Baptist Church is a humble group of people. Amen? Wouldn't it be great if when people walk through the door and they got to know us, they said, I don't know everything about them, but they sure are humble. Boy, we could reach more, couldn't we? So take this and adapt it into our lives. Now, here's the truth. We're not too old to change. Now, I know that there's some of us that are not spring chickens here. I haven't used that phrase in a long time. But we're not too old to change. We can always learn to be godly. The question is, number one, are we open to change? And are we pliable? And I got to admit, I'm thinking about Sylvia right now. She had a leg that would not bend whatsoever, correct? Well, now she's got a new knee. It's not totally pliable, but it's getting there, amen? Yeah, it's beginning to bend. It's a process, though. She's going to be working on it for months in order to get that knee to where it ought to be, to where she can, you know, start doing stuff like this. And when she can, she's going to be excited about it. Well, how about if in our spiritual lives we become pliable to what God wants to do with us? We take what he teaches us, then we adapt it to our lives, and we begin to live it. Because a great church has the culture of Christ. A great church has a culture of humility. And the question is, will we be great in God's church? Father, we are grateful. Thank you for the lessons on humility, for the teachings, for your words. And we realize that by studying, we come face to face with what we need to understand about living humble lives. And that thought of becoming like a child is very important. Not threatening, not someone that causes people to fall, someone that accepts truth by faith and then tries to apply it. Lord, may we be like children in that respect. For we pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen.